What's up, it's Chase Young.
What's up, this is Terry McLaurin.
You're listening to the Washington Football Talk Podcast.
A lot to go over in Commander's land as the sale seems to hurry up and then stop and go backwards and hurry up and stop and go backwards. Actual football news, actual free agencies coming. There is a lot for us to get to, and apparently Mr. Pete Haley has a new draft crush.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
What up, everybody? It's Jake McFinley. It's the Washington Football Talk Podcast. Boys have been all over the place in the last week, but we're all back. We're all ready to lock in. I was in Indy. Mitch was in God knows where. Pete sprained his ankle. It's been a busy couple days. Let's start with thanking the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Want you to do the same thing. You can check them out online, oarsmanva.com. Seven locations all over Northern Virginia, from Alexandria to Chantilly. From Ford and Dodge to Kia and Toyota, they got anything you can think of. All right, let's get down to business here, boys. Mitch is here. Pete is here. Still, by far, the most dominant storyline as it relates to this Commanders team is the sale. I was in Indy. I wrote a story for the NBC Washington website. Like, that's all anybody cares about. It's all anybody talked about. And some of that, I think, is they're not going to do anything. I think it's going to be a very quiet free agency period. We'll see if that's incorrect. I mean, the fact that Ron said the word fair deals to me as it relates to free agency. I think anybody that, if anybody out there is dumb enough to believe the Lamar Jackson stuff, I would chill with that. But I think it's going to be quiet. And I think until we know what's happening with the sale, and depending who you believe, what timeline you believe, that it could be July. I don't know. I still think it'll happen relatively soon, and all of this stuff is just noise. I don't think we're going to see a heck of a lot happen anywhere else until – now, they're still going to have to sign people. There's still the functionality of running an NFL club, but I think it's going to be a pretty ho-hum mid-March in Ashburn. I still think the sale is – there's so much misinformation and so much BS. I still think the sale is going. I think it is going to happen. I still personally think it's Josh Harris. We don't know. Maybe there's a mystery bidder. Remember the guy from Houston, Bezos, all could be in play. We don't know. But you know how we always talk about this, and maybe we'll talk about this. But you go into college football season ends, and everybody knows who the number one draft pick is going to be. And by the time we get to the draft, there's just so many pixels and so much speak that by the time we get to the draft, it's like, oh, man, it could be eight different people, right? Like, just go back to the beginning when you knew who it was going to be. And I – this is my biggest point. David Tepper owned 5% of the Steelers. Then he got the Panthers. Josh Harris owns 5% of the Steelers. He's up next. We'll see what happens. It would certainly be Bezos if he wants it, but I don't know how that's all going to shake out. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, JP. Hello, Mitchell. That draft cycle theory is really good. With storylines as big as this, people get nervous. There's so much time and space to fill that you move off of one point and start talking about another. But your first instinct is often correct, and Dan is running out of money. He's hated. There are people who want this team. I think it's going to happen. And just hang in there. Maybe it's March, maybe it's July, but when it happens, it's going to be so full of elation. It's going to be worth it. You're going to call up somebody you haven't talked to in years. You're going to enjoy it. I'm going to jump in Mitch's arms, a big old bear hug. It's just going to be the most festive occasion of our lifetimes. Mitch, hello.
Hello, boys. Yeah. I mean, I this thing is happening. It's just a matter of when. I'm a little less bullish than JP that this thing gets done as quickly as you think it does. I do think that because Dan and the team have bullets being fired at them from all different directions, that I do think that there's going to be some hiccups along the way, and this thing isn't going to be as smooth. Certainly, there's a lot of chatter around, and you know, different storylines that are both important and unimportant. But I do think the sale is going to happen. I fear that this thing might carry on into training camp or around that time as we start getting close to the start of the season. Really, kind of hinders what this team really wants to do when it comes to free agency and building.
See, I'm not sure I disagree with you. Like, it's already hindering them. That was my point, like, all along. It's like, if you don't have this thing locked in by 3 weeks ago, it's going to hinder you. Because free agency's in – I mean, timestamp, guy, it's
a week.
March 6th. It's March 6th at 6:31 p.m. The legal tampering period is less than a week out. The actual new start of the league year is 9 days out. And, oh, by the way, a lot of these deals probably already got hammered out at the combine last week. So it's already going to hinder them. And to your point, because one thing that's been really interesting talking with B during this process is he was on the Skins when they got flipped in 99 from the Cook estate to Snyder. And technically, Snyder became owner in that 99 season. That's when they had that pretty good team where the Kirk messed up the snap. They lost to the Bucks, and the Bucks went on to at least the NFC Championship game, if not Super Bowl that year. But, you know, Snyder had purchased the team, but he didn't really take over until that offseason. And that's when they signed Dion and Jeff George and all sorts of craziness. So whoever takes over, whoever gets this team, I don't think their stamp is firmly on this thing until next offseason. Like, yeah. January of 24, which is seems so far away.
Right. It's by the way, this is significant. I know Mitch said this in the last episode, but for a long time, he didn't think Dan was going to sell. JP, we have now welcomed Mitch onto the sales happening side. Mitch, happy to have you. And yeah, this year is just going to feel like a bit of a gap year. It's like the movie in the movie series that you kind of look back in 30 years, you're like, why the hell did they make that one? That one has no tie into the plot. And we're probably just going to overlook it when it all is said and done, because Ron's future is dicey. Sam Howell could work. He could also just be a complete failure, and they need a new quarterback next year, a new head coach, and they have the new owner. So 2023, while it could be really intriguing for the grand scheme of things, this whole season on its own might just not have any impact on the organization. Like, stuff's going to happen, but that stuff's going to matter in 24, 25, 26, et cetera.
The caveat I would throw in there is if they get off to a slow start and say this – new person, conglomerate, whoever it is, alien, whatever, whoever takes over. Say they take over, and by the time they're actually running things, it's August, and you're off and running because it's the season. And then you stumble to 3-6. And they might start putting their fingerprints on things then, but we'll just kind of have to wait.
I mean, one important thing or interesting thing that kind of Amy Dash, I think, was pointing out from – she does the legal Twitter stuff – was that – if the federal governments look into the team, they end up freezing an asset or forcing, you know, Dan to hold on to this thing until they can figure out what happens with all the, you know, improper financials and stuff like that. I mean, that's a rather nightmare scenario for sale of the team. I mean, you know, there's a lot of like cheering about, oh, good, this other institution, like, good, the federal district in Virginia is looking into this. You know, everyone's excited about it, but that could really create a nightmare scenario where they freeze the Commanders franchise as an asset of Dan Snyder's and force him to hold on to it until they can figure out. And then if he has to pay, you know, it turns that that thing can blossom into a disaster. I mean, obviously, everyone wants this thing done as quickly as possible, but you know, there's some real messy sticking points that could happen along the way here that folks have to be prepared for, because, you know, again, bullets are flying from all different directions.
Yeah, I think I know there was a report from Front Office Sports maybe that like the league's ready to like seize control. I don't see any of that stuff happen. Oh, there are a couple owners that are probably mad enough to be like, yeah, let's go get this thing. Like, maybe. But, dude, the amount of lawyers – like, this is a gigantic financial asset. Like, these things very rarely get seized. I mean, I think – now, the government can slow it down if there is, like, a legit, you know, pending criminal case. But I kind of think – I really think most of what we're hearing is crazy noise, and this thing will end up going down as a regular transaction. Like,
knock on wood.
I mean, who knows, right? Like, I get that, but I just think the debt is piling up and you got to move forward. Speaking of moving forward, unless anybody has something definitive they need to say.
No.
So one of the most interesting points being in Indy is just talking with all the different, like, national reporters, but also, like, friends that cover the Vikings or the Niners or the Cowboys or whatever, right? And nobody out there seems to believe that this team is rolling with Howell. And I keep trying to tell them, like, yo, they're rolling with Howell. Like, this is a thing. Now, could they sign Heinicke back or Dalton or somebody that financially makes sense? Tyrod, pick a name out of a hat. Yeah. Like, I expect them to sign somebody else. But the Sam has the chance at being QB1 stuff is completely real. And I think by and large, people are cool with it. Maybe even myself included. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, no, I said as soon as the finale happened, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I don't want to think about Sam Howell's starter. But as time has gone on, we've had a couple months since his performance. I'm not basing it on how he played, because basing it on 19 throws would be crazy. But just the situation the team is in with its financials, with the options that are out there, with having traded for Wentz last year and seeing that crash, like, let's just see. It's worth it. Even if the road to Sam Howell being a viable starter is only 20% and he's not anything special, is 80%, getting that 20% could really set up this team for a lot of glory and a lot of production, and you could build the team elsewhere. And I understand why people are skeptical of it, because it's a little bit crazy for Ron Rivera in his fourth year to be going with a fifth rounder who's played one game, and for Eric Bieniemy to be staking his non-Kansas City reputation on a guy he doesn't know. But that's just the reality. This team has no money and no real options, and he's in here, and it's I think worth a flyer, and a flyer might even be too complimentary to him. But while the national people are viewing it with a complete side eye, I think the people in this area are okay with it, and a lot of fans are excited about it. And sure, might look stupid by the second quarter of week two, but he's a young guy with some tools. Build up the team around him. He's got good receivers, and if it hits, bada bing, bada boom.
If he's the starter and the second quarter of week two, you've decided that you've made a mistake, then you haven't given him enough time. And I was kind of all in on him being the starter after seeing him play in that last game, simply because there's not a better option out there. There's somebody who might marginally be a better quarterback in the short term, but there's nobody that's available in the free agency that has the upside or the potential of what Sam Howell has. Now, if you get to the draft and, you know, Anthony Richardson or Will Levis or one of these dudes starts dropping, and you find yourself sitting there at 16 and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, one of those dudes is there, then you have a real, you know, discussion to be had in your draft room. But of the stack of free agent quarterbacks that are out there and available, and none of them excite me more than the potential of what Sam Howell could be. Obviously, you need to bring in somebody as a backup. And if you do start Sam Howell, he needs to have a extremely long leash. That thing needs to be 8 to 10 games long at minimum, if not maybe longer. And you gotta roll and see if, you know, see what he kind of develops into. But I can't imagine that, you know, I understand the national folks not necessarily believing what Ron's saying about it, because first of all, we know that Ron is dubious in his truthfulness at the podium, but also that they can look at it and be like, he's a fifth round quarterback last year, you're really going to roll with him? But there's not a better option out there. There's nobody else out there that I would want to even consider, you know, that would step in and be an automatic starter. So it's
the only pushback to say there's not a better option out there. You could certainly argue there's not someone with a more upside out there. Like if it's Tyrod or Dalton or whoever, like, we know what they are. The only area I push back on is we know what Sam is, because we have no idea. And I think he's got a really, really high ceiling, but the floor could be a disaster. So I just think we have to, like, keep ourselves open to that. It's entirely possible that by Halloween, we're like, yo, Tyrod would have been way better.
Yeah, it's upside and cost.
That's all I'm saying.
Sam has upside, high upside in theory, and You're not going to find a cheaper quarterback. And for this team right now, that's what matters most is the cheapness. And also the upside is really tantalizing. So I'm sure Ron and any other situation prefer to have a more stable quarterback, considering he needs to win 10, 11 games this season, but that's not realistic. So he's got to roll with him and hope the rest of the roster can grow with Sam.
Yeah, I think that's all fair. Free agency is kind of starting. You release Bobby McCain, you release Carson Wentz. I imagine there's going to be more news between now and next week, whether it's restructures or what. You know, if they wanted to get a deal done with Curl, they could be working on that. Ron M. Martin said in Indy that, you know, we got to work on getting our own guys done. I don't think much is happening with Payne. I think he ends up just being on the tag. Curl, I think you should be really trying like hell. It's a seventh rounder. Whatever you pay now is going to cost significantly more a year from now. And I think he's so smart. I think that gets lost in when you talk about secondary players being able to kind of identify stuff, just how much value that has.
Montez Sweat doesn't seem like they're working towards anything, especially considering what they did with John and then with Deron here. I think you're going into a fifth year of Montez Sweat where, you know,
after the season. Sweat, maybe if you get ownership you get ownership figured out by June and get like an actual, like, not just know who's going to buy it, but like, all right, this dude's now in charge and checks are clearing. And maybe that's a kind of opportunity for that thing to reopen, you know, and maybe that happens with Payne and everybody else too. I don't know, but I am not expecting much to happen during free agency, really with their own guys or others. Does anybody feel differently?
No, I'm starting to, some of my favorite stories in the internet sphere are top 100, top 150 free agent lists. I love seeing what various sites think of free agents. And I think for Commanders fans, when you're perusing that list, probably take out the top 50 or 60 players. Go start at like number 62. And that's kind of where that's where the Commanders are going to be spending. Maybe they can make a decent splash on a guard. Like there's Isaac Ciamalo from the Eagles. Maybe he's like a 3-year, 30 million, 2-year, 20 million guy. But I don't think there's any. I think JP set the bar at like 10 million AAV on a contract for players. That feels like that's pretty much the ceiling for this team. Anything more than that feels too splashy, too significant. I think they're going to really have to nail the draft and then try and find, you know, that first year with Ron, the Logan Thomases, the JD McKissicks, the guys who are ready for a bigger role but haven't had the production that garners a massive contract. That's where they're going to have to make their money. So, yeah, I think it'll be another year, except for that Fitzpatrick, Jackson, Samuel season, where the Commanders chill for the first couple days, people start getting angsty about what they're doing or what they're not doing. And then come the fourth or fifth day of the free agency week, they start signing guys to 1 or 2 year deals. And you hope those dudes can capitalize.
That was a very different situation then.
Sure was. Yeah.
Coming off an NFC title.
Chase Young's going to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
William Jackson's a shutdown corner. Oh God. We were so young and so naive, weren't we?
Some more than others.
Well said.
Fitzpatrick going to the Pro Bowl at age 38. Yeah.
Well said, big man. first time ever.
Yeah. On a team that never sends a quarterback to anything good. Smart.
Right. Smart prediction.
All right, what else on my list here?
I'm drinking a screwdriver right now, by the way.
That a boy.
Thanks.
People are starting to get paid. Geno Smith got paid. You're starting to see some contracts come in. I think when is the deadline for the deal? I think it's coming up. For the tag rather. Yeah.
Tomorrow, the 7th.
They've already put it out there, right? He has months to sign it.
Who?
Deron. Yes. He has to sign it. Yeah, okay. And then there's like a deadline in July or something where no more conversations. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, the tag window when you designate ends tomorrow, but the negotiations continue until July.
I'm curious what the Giants do with Daniel Jones. I don't know. So kind of just looking ahead then, there's not a heck of a lot to discuss until we see next week. I do think pick one position and dollar amount, because we're not picking top tier here. So to try to throw names out of hats is stupid. Give me one position and dollar amount you see happening by the end of next week. So we're talking by St. Patrick's Day, close of business. I have a meeting at 4 o'clock on St. Patrick's Day. By the time I get out of that meeting, what will have happened?
I think this team will have signed a guard. Tackle is too expensive. That's where the draft is for. Sitting at 16 or maybe day two, you can find your tackle. Linebacker, I think they seem content to try and get Cole Holcomb and then roll with that. And corner could be another draftable spot. So guard, the 2-year, 3-year deal, 15, 20 million total, AAV of 6 or 7. You know, similar to Wes Schweitzer, maybe a slight step above in terms of dollar amount, but that kind of player who a lot of fans haven't heard of, but a guy who's got a lot of starts to his name and can at least play every Sunday, not get hurt, and give you average contributions.
I agree. I think it's guard or center.
Cool. I'm cool with it.
I think it's one of those two. I think, you know, they recognize the need, especially at the center position. And that's kind of the news I'm waiting for is Rouye, you know, at least a restructure. Or dude, Logan Paulson, and maybe we talked about this on a previous pod. If we did, forgive me. Logan Paulson mentioned with Hoffman that he thinks Rouye could retire. And I'm like, bam.
Whoa.
I don't know anything, but you know, there are some free agents coming off that Chiefs O-line, and everybody's going to talk about Zeus Brown, who they're not going to pay for. But I think some of those interior guys could be pretty interesting.
They already signed the receiver, Marcus Kemp, special
teams. I saw, yeah.
Out the depth chart. So, yeah, they're going to start plucking a few Chiefs.
And they're certainly not – like, they're not going after the top level tackles as much as we want them to or
think. No chance.
That's not in there. That's on their realm. The other one, I think like a third, a corner slash safety guy who can play. I hate to say that Buffalo nickel spot, but somebody who's going to take over for much cheaper than what they just cut
Bobby McCain
for. I think you'll find a mid level replacement for him in there.
Sure,
dude, like Andrew Wiley played 95% of snaps last year for the Chiefs.
Right tackle.
And is a free agent. And they think they could probably move him inside, or you figure out what they're going to do with Cosme. Like, I tried to get an answer on that in Indy and just didn't get one. And frankly, I imagine Sam is kind of frustrated by it.
Yeah.
But like,
if they have two guys that can play both right guard and right tackle, they can just rotate them left and right. You know, they like those rotations on the offensive line.
If you got two quarterbacks, you got none. But if you have two right tackle guard combinations, you're swimming in the deep end.
So
so we're all kind of saying interior O-line, big man saying maybe some secondary depth. Anything over 10 mil AAV. Here's my only caveat. A veteran backup, if they want Andy Dalton, Andy Dalton's going to get like 13 mil.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So like, I do think we need a veteran backup quarterback caveat on the 10 mil list. And Curl, dude, if you're going to get a deal done with Curl, I think that's looking like 12, 11. Yeah,
but Curl's already on the team, and I think a quarterback caveat's fair. A non-quarterback over 10 mil AAV, I don't think so.
Andy Dalton made $3 million last year as a backup for the Saints.
But he started and played somewhat okay.
I know, but that's my point. I think you can get Andy Dalton for less than 10 mil.
Well, you can definitely get Heineke for less than 10 mil.
Yeah.
I think there's a number of quarterbacks that they can get for under 10 mil.
Yeah, I think the point is if you can't get Andy Dalton for less than 10 mil, then get somebody else.
I don't think you need the $10 million caveat because I don't think they're spending more than $10 million on a backup. There's enough random backup names who are good enough to compete that you can get for less than 10 mil.
Yeah, you're probably right. So the 10 mil threshold may prove to be way too high. Might need to be 7.2. All right. What else is on my list? Pete's Draft Crush.
Okay. So.
Oh, I have the NFLPA thing. We didn't talk about that, right?
We hadn't talked about it. That came out, I think, the day after we did our Snyder pod. So,
yeah,
people have probably seen it by now. The Commanders ranked last in the NFLPA survey of players, ranking various aspects of the team, training staff, food, et cetera, et cetera. JP, what direction do you want to take this? Because all the initial reactions have been out there. But I think your point, or one of your main points, is this isn't Ron's fault necessarily.
This 94% of this is Snyder, his ownership, just not investing money. I mean, the most of those problems are probably 15 years in the making. And that building opened, I think, in 92. I'm talking about the facility, not even the stadium. It's like, I mean, anybody that owns a home or even a car or like your teeth, whenever you go to the dentist and you haven't been in a while, your teeth are jammed up. Like if you just go routinely, odds are you're in better shape. When you just don't put money and maintain things, they fall apart. I also think it's important to point out that like the Chiefs ranked 29th on that list, I think, and are awesome. Like if you have Mahomes or Josh Allen, some of the stuff is probably less relevant. They've definitely gone cheaper in certain areas travel wise that, you know, I've been told about, but you treat people first class. You hope you get a first class result. They don't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the facility, particularly the practice facility, that thing has gotten basically two upgrades in since the time that I've been there. One of them was when they agreed with Richmond to go down to training camp. They got a ton of tax breaks on construction on the back of the building, which they extended out the back. They extended the weight room. They made it bigger. They added more meeting rooms. And then the other one was after Ron came when he said
– field stuff is legit.
Yeah, essentially, I don't like practicing in the bubble. Fix this offseason. And they basically never go – they barely ever go in the bubble. And they fix the practice fields. So the practice fields are pretty good. And
the bubble is an upgrade too. That hasn't been there the whole time, right?
Yeah, they redid the turf field. But worth pointing that out. But like at the same time, you still walk down a really terrible concrete walkway to the practice fields, and the closest one is a turf field that nobody has used in 20 years.
Except for the deer that poop on it.
Right.
I mean, this is going back to when I first started on the beat and when Dan Snyder would do one-on-one interviews with either Chick Hernandez, Kelly Johnson, whoever. Like he would talk about that he didn't want to put money into upgrading the facility. And obviously now that we've looked back on it, that he wanted to wait until he got his new facility, his new stadium, which they want to build the practice facility into as a piece of. And so it's been an issue that's been building for years.
Yeah. Yeah. Being stuck in limbo and not having that new stadium site is, you know, you don't want to invest in something you're going to leave, but then they've ended up staying at that place for years and years. Yeah. I mean, locker rooms, I've only been in that practice facility locker room. I haven't been to Baltimore or any other team. That locker room seems pretty dank and gross, and other places. I mean, and this is the players, the current players, not past ones, not guys who have an axe grind. This is the Terry McLaurins, the John Allens. These are guys who are in there every day, who came from top-notch colleges and who are just crying out for just league average benefits and things that make your life better. And JP took some flack, I think, for, sorry that the millionaires have to walk out to practice, but this is the most competitive sport in the entire world. If you're feeding your guys crappy food, if you're making them walk through the rain to go to practice, all this stuff, it can add up on Sunday. And this team has sucked for years and years. And you think they try and take care of the things that they can control. So the things that they don't control sometimes go their way, but they don't because their owner is Dan Snyder.
I mean, every time that I've gone to a new facility, a different facility in the NFL, and I think by now I've been to maybe about 10 or so of them, it blows your mind when you walk into Seattle, Arizona, Dallas.
You've done Dallas.
Wherever, and you compare it to Philly even. You compare it to what the Commanders have as far as just meeting room space and technology and weight rooms and stuff like that. It's on a different level. The rankings are, you know.
It's a dump, dude.
Yeah. You can hate on the NFLPA for putting it out there, but it's not wrong. It is what it is.
They still have Mike Sellers' number painted on a parking spot because there was a point in time where when you were the captain, you got your number painted on the floor. Chris Cooley, like, there's a, you can see a very faint 47 on a really nice parking spot. Like,
there's also a Dan Snyder parking spot. He hasn't been at the practice facility in years.
Yeah. Listen, that doesn't help you win games or lose games, but it's a thing. And yeah. And when you have a bad reputation, it tends to be amplified.
Yeah.
All right, Peter, what's your draft crush?
All right, so we talked a lot of O-line, and one position we didn't bring up when talking about players that could sign is tight end. Darnell Washington, the tight end from Georgia, is a offensive lineman in a tight end's body. This is so against everything I believe in. I believe in short guys with speed and ridiculous production who can run end arounds and make catches 80 yards down the field. This is my new draft crush. I think he might be a tad bit of a reach at 16. He's more likely to be there in the second round, but he might be a late first rounder. But he is 6 foot seven, 264 pounds, ran a 4.64, did 21 reps on the bench press, and he is a dominant blocker, which we saw issues with Logan Thomas, Cole Turner, all those guys who played, et cetera, et cetera. Awful blockers in the run game. Darnell Washington solved that. And when you get in the red zone, what better thing to do than throw it up to the guy down the middle of the field, offensive coordinator who loves tight ends. This is my new draft crush. He's not a cornerback. He's not a running back. He's not a receiver. I am maturing, and I want Darnell Washington, burgundy and gold, and he could fix so many things with one player, one roster spot. JP, you're smugly reacting.
Not smug, dude. He's a stud. I like it, but you don't get to exactly act like you're picking a D tackle here. Like, you're still picking a pass catcher.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I would say he is a untapped pass catcher, but the thing that sticks out at first is his blocking, both as a chipper and mostly as a run blocker. I mean, he's huge. He's not exactly perfect there in terms of his leverage and getting low. And some of the scouting reports say he could use some refinement there. But a guy who's that big for a team that wants to run the ball, imagine Brian Robinson running on the right side behind Darnell Washington. You're just going to move people. And he can be a – I mean, he could solve so many things with just – he could be – like Mike Sellers, but 10 times better, where he just does all these various aspects to improve your offense. I love it. I absolutely love it.
All right.
And yeah.
Pete's draft crush.
Yeah, there you go.
I like it, Pete.
I've fallen early for Darnell Washington, who trying to tackle him looks like trying to tackle a waste management truck boring at you at 70 miles an hour.
Can you edit this?
Yeah.
You falling quick? No.
We keep that. It seems harmless enough.
All right. Lots of like, dude. That Georgia tight end room is just bananas. All right, that's it with the real stuff. My man Mitch looks gray. I was there last week. If anybody's out there fighting this stomach bug, Godspeed, man. Without getting too far into it, Mitchell, are you having northbound trouble or southbound trouble or both?
Oh,
unfortunately, it's both.
Oh,
it's a I-95. It's I-95 outside of the area between Richmond and DC. There's no jam up there.
That's why they put a stadium in Dumfries. You'll be in business.
Don't say Dumfries.
Yeah, dump.
I had a 24-hour thing that was brutal.
Well, you had it in route to Indy, and you were a trooper dealing with that. Sources say it might have been happening at the airport before he took off.
and Pete sprained his ankle in a parent teacher game. You all right, Pete? Thoughts and prayers.
You can joke around all you want. It's very swollen and it hurt a lot. And there's a
golf ball. I'm not joking. I'm sure it hurts. I just think it's funny you did it in a parent teacher. Like, I mean, you posted the video of you fouling that dude and the lady looking at you like, "Yo, relax, man."
No, it was.
You gave this everything you had.
It's wholly embarrassing, but it was at my old high school. It was in front of a big crowd, and my family was there. I got to play basketball. It was a chance to chase my youth. I got a little too amped up and rolled my ankle with a minute left, but I do it 10 times out of 10 again. It was so much fun, and a couple days on the couch won't kill me.
All right. Well, now I'm just going to keep doing this. You got a little too amped up? No.
Yeah, I know.
And then, dude, I was completely out of pocket. Thank you, Danny Frank. Once a legend, always a legend. Your Chipotle steak tweet, a lot of people sent to me.
Yeah.
What did I? That clearly went viral. That was there a moment that didn't seem that interesting to me. Like, what am I missing?
Dude, it's so stupid. I tweeted about Chipotle, and I know why a lot of stuff goes viral. I have no idea why that did. It's got like 40,000 likes. It made no sense to me. There, I did nothing special. Nothing good happened. But a lot of people responded, including Trevor Immelman, Master.
I saw that's awesome.
Chris Strevler, the Jets backup who replaced Zach Wilson in a game earlier this
year. Oh, that guy's bad, but he's like a free agent hero,
yeah,
right?
Or he's a preseason hero. That's the best part about going viral is you see how many blue check mark randos get a hold of it. I did nothing special there. I don't get it. But thank you to those who helped me go big.
Well done, Pete.
Thanks, congrats, Mitch. On your virality.
I know you care a lot, Mitch, on your borderline deathbed. About
yeah, boys, I got to run. See you later.
Goodbye, we love Mitchell. You, big man. Feel thank better. You, thank you. Mitch just played his flu game. I think, which last Monday on the radio was kind of my flu game. Yeah, dude, the viral stuff's impossible to predict, but glad you got one there.
Thanks.
I know you love those likes, so you probably enjoyed that.
It's huge. It means nothing ultimately, but in the moment, it's a drug that hits my veins like nothing else.
All right. Speaking of drugs, let's get the hell out of here. try to do something again later in the week, especially if any sort of news emerges. But like, here's what I'm committed to at this point: the constant on again news cycle, for lack of a better word, related to the sale. Like, you can't do something on every one of these reports because right. There's a billion of them. I do think people should take note of, I think it was from the Post, forgive me, the Washington Post, that Goodell met with Mariel Bowser about RFK. That matters. You got to, I'm asking everybody, and perhaps this is too big of an ask, but I'm asking everyone to have their BS meter turned all the way up and try to look through the noise. All right, Pete, you ready to get out of here?
I am, yes.
All right, you made it as far, I'll give you a beer.
We're thinking of you, Mitch.
Whenever you go to the dentist and you haven't been in a while, your teeth are jammed up.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.